April, Week 4, Monday. 1. Our Family Creed. Reading. They are the principles on which my wife and I have tried to bring up our family. They are the principles in which my father believed and by which he governed his life. They are the principles, many of them, which I learned at my mother's knee. They point the way to usefulness and happiness in life, to courage and peace in death. If they mean to you what they mean to me, they may perhaps be helpful also to our sons for their guidance and inspiration. Let me state them. I believe in the supreme worth of the individual and in his right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that every right implies a responsibility, every opportunity an obligation, every possession a duty. I believe that the law was made for man and not man for the law, that government is the servant of the people and not their master. I believe in the dignity of labor, whether with head or hand, that the world owes no man a living, but that it owes every man an opportunity to make a living. I believe that thrift is essential to well-ordered living and that economy is a prime requisite of a sound financial structure, whether in government, business, or personal affairs. I believe that truth and justice are fundamental to an enduring social order. I believe in the sacredness of a promise, that a man's word should be as good as his bond, that character, not wealth or power or position, is of supreme worth. I believe that the rendering of useful service is the common duty of mankind, and that only in the purifying fire of sacrifice is the dross of selfishness consumed and the greatness of the human soul set free. I believe in an all-wise and all-loving God, named by whatever name, and that the individual's highest fulfillment, greatest happiness, and widest usefulness are to be found in living in harmony with his will. I believe that love is the greatest thing in the world, that it alone can overcome hate, that right can and will triumph over might. These are the principles, however formulated, for which all good men and women throughout the world, irrespective of race or creed, education, social position or occupation, are standing, and for which many of them are suffering and dying. These are the principles upon which alone a new world recognizing the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God can be established.
Tuesday, 2. The Story of Love. Reading. Once upon a time, there was an island where all the feelings lived, happiness, sadness, knowledge, and all of the others, including love. One day it was announced to the feelings that the island would sink, so all repaired their boats and left. Love wanted to persevere until the last possible moment. When the island was almost sinking, Love decided to ask for help. Richness was passing by Love in a grand boat. Love said, "Richness, can you take me with you?" Richness answered, "No, I can't. There is a lot of gold and silver in my boat. There is no place here for you." Love decided to ask Vanity, who was also passing by in a beautiful vessel. "Vanity, please help me." "I can't help you, Love. You are all wet and might damage my boat," Vanity answered. Sadness was close by, so Love asked for help. "Sadness, let me go with you." "Oh, Love, I am so sad that I need to be by myself." Happiness passed by Love, too. but she was so happy that she did not even hear when Love called her. Suddenly, there was a voice. "Come, Love, I will take you." It was an elder. Love felt so blessed and overjoyed that he even forgot to ask the elder his name. When they arrived at dry land, the elder went his own way. Love, realizing how much he owed the elder, and asked Knowledge, another elder, "Who helped me?" "It was Time," Knowledge answered. "Time?" asked Love. "But why did Time help me?" Knowledge smiled with deep wisdom and answered, "Because only Time is capable of understanding how great love is."
Wednesday, 3. A Father's Love. Fathers seldom say, "I love you," though the feeling's always there. But somehow those three little words are the hardest ones to share. And fathers say, "I love you," in ways that words can't match, with tender bedtime stories or a friendly game of catch. You can see the words, "I love you," in a father's boyish eyes, when he returns home all excited with a poorly wrapped surprise. A father says, "I love you," with his strong helping hands, with a smile when you're in trouble, with the way he understands. He says, "I love you," haltingly, with awkward tenderness. It's hard to help a four-year-old into a party dress. He speaks his love unselfishly by giving all he can to make some secret dream come true or follow through a plan. A father's seldom spoken love sounds clearly through the years, sometimes in peals of laughter, sometimes through happy tears. Perhaps they have to speak their love in a fashion all their own, because the love that fathers feel is too big for words alone.
Thursday, 4. How to Escape. Reading. A man was locked in a room with only a bed, a calendar, and a piano. How did he drink? How did he eat? And how did he get out? Another man was locked in a room with only a mirror and a table. How did he get out? A third man was locked in an empty room. How did he escape? The first man drank from the springs of the bed, ate the dates off the calendar, and played the piano until he found the right key, which he used to unlock the door. The second man looked in the mirror to see what he saw. Then he took the saw and cut the table in half. Next, he put the two halves together to make a hole. Finally, he crawled out through the hole. The third man broke out with the measles.
Friday. 5. Lincoln and the Little Girl. Reading. In the old days, when Abraham Lincoln was one of the leading lawyers of the state, he noticed a little girl of 10 who stood beside a trunk in front of her home crying bitterly. He stopped to learn what was wrong, and was told that she was about to miss a long-promised visit to Decatur because the wagon had not come for her. "You needn't let that trouble you," was his cheering reply. "Just come along with me, and we shall make it all right." Lifting the trunk upon his shoulder and taking the little girl by the hand, he went through the streets of Springfield, a half mile to the railway station, put her and her trunk on the train, and sent her away with a happiness in her heart that is still there.